Back in the Old West, the six guns that the lawmen carried were popularly known as peacemakers. And the kind of peace that was dealt out with those six guns was possibly best exemplified by a little incident that took place in Tombstone, Arizona in 1881. It was a sort of encounter group meeting between Wyatt Earp, his brothers, and a doctor friend of theirs, and the Clantons. It was called the Gunfight at the OK Corral. And, well, they kind of made peace because none of the other side seemed to need a trial after it was over. I don't know if they were at peace, but they sure looked peaceful, if you know what I mean. And, you know, there's a part of us that romanticizes that Wild West kind of peacekeeping, I think. There's a part of us that, still finds it appealing. I think that's why in the movies, since there have been movies, one of the favorite subjects was Westerns. In the silent films with Tom Mix and William S. Hart, all the way through the 30s, we had singing cowboys like Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, Dale Evans. We had endless sheriffs, endless shootouts. We had classics like Gary Cooper's High Noon. We had Shane with Alan Ladd standing on a box through most of the film, I understand, because he's actually only about that tall. But all of them were basically the same movie. All of John Wayne's movies. And then on TV, when television first started, it was the same way. It was one Western after another. There was Cheyenne, there was Maverick, there was Sugarfoot, there was Bonanza, there was Wagon Train. And so many of them featured frontier lawmen. One of the longest running shows in TV history was Gunsmoke, that always began with Matt Dillon drawing his peacemaker, his Model 1873 single action Army Colt, which they used in all the Westerns. That's what John Wayne always carried. Not because it was the only gun in the Wild West, actually, but it was the only one that was still in production into the 1940s. That's by the way, why they all still carried the peacemakers. But in every film, there would be the gunfights. There would be the beginning of Wanted, Dead or Alive. There would be the beginning of Paladin's show. Have Gun, Will Travel. It always started with that Colt peacemaker pointing at you, didn't it? And even movies set in more contemporary circumstances still had the same hero. If you think about it, the character Clint Eastwood, for instance, played in the 70s and 80s, his Dirty Harry character, who was a modern detective, or the character Charles Bronson played in his Death Wish movies around the same time. They were basically the same characters they played in the Westerns, weren't they? Dirty Harry was just the same character Clint Eastwood played in the spaghetti Westerns. He just got rid of his cowboy hat and that serape he always wore and exchanged it for a cheap suit. Same character, same basic movie, same basic idea, an idea that had an appeal, an idea that continues to have an appeal. After those movies, we had the Bruce Willis Die Hard movies. It continues today on TV and in the movies. There's a part of us that just thinks, well, the world would be a better place if we had that kind of old-fashioned justice, those kind of old-fashioned lawmen. But right here, I think it's important to consider a couple of things. First of all, if those Wild West sheriff's six guns really were peacemakers, then how come you never hear anybody talk about the peaceful West, the genteel West, the tranquil West? Why is it always the Wild West? I mean, there were peacemakers all over the place, but there wasn't that much peace, it seems to me. And those characters that Clint Eastwood and John Wayne Steve McQueen played both in TV and in the movies when they played westerns, when Steve McQueen traded in his actual Mustang for a Ford Mustang in Bullitt. Those same characters were all had this in common. They were all fictional characters. How much do we know about the actual character of the actors that played those parts? I remember, I actually met this individual once. There was an actor named Dennis Weaver. He died just a couple years ago. And Dennis Weaver, for years, was the deputy, the limping deputy on Gunsmoke, Chester. And then in the 70s, he got his own really popular TV show. And he was the quintessential example of the Old West character brought into modern circumstances. The show was called McCloud. And Dennis Weaver as McCloud was this frontier marshal. He was from Taos, New Mexico, which apparently at the time they thought was exactly the same as it was in the 1880s. They apparently all still rode horses in Taos, New Mexico, at least according to McCloud. And he shows up in New York City for some reason or other with his cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and he is even carrying a Colt Peacemaker, a Colt model 1873. You know, Colt has made other guns, but he's still got that old Peacemaker. He's still got that old single action revolver. And he is sent there and becomes sort of a foreign exchange student to the New York City Police Department from Taos, New Mexico. And he proceeds in his show to demonstrate how his Wild West kind of peacekeeping is superior to those New York City guys. That was the subject of the show. Well, the show was popular, like I say, and the references to Taos, New Mexico helped popularize the city. Taos, New Mexico got all this positive publicity. The Chamber of Commerce was thrilled. The mayor was thrilled. Tourists were actually coming to Taos. People were actually wanting to visit there. That hadn't happened much before. They were excited about it. People were investing there. They were building hotels. It was quite a deal. And they were so happy and so pleased with the job, that Dennis Weaver's McCloud character was doing for their fair city, they decided to have a Dennis Weaver Day. And they invited the actor to come as their guest of honor. And he was going to be in a parade in his honor. And there was going to be this great big celebration. And they arranged it all. And they asked him if he'd come. And he said, sure. And he showed up. And they put him in the parade. But it would have helped if they had known something about the actual person, Dennis Weaver, and not just the character. Because the main feature of their big celebration was a barbecue. And Dennis Weaver was a vegetarian. So there was not a thing there he could eat. And he was also not actually from the West. He grew up here in Missouri, in Joplin, I believe. Well, it's west of here. He was involved in all kinds of liberal and environmental causes throughout his life. And worse, I mean, they didn't know about, if they'd found out about this, they would have thought he was crazy. He actually was a Unity person. That's how I met him. I met him at Unity Village. He was there a couple of times and published a number of articles in Unity magazines and was interviewed actually for a magazine I worked for back in the 70s called New Magazine that Unity used to publish. Well, he wasn't at all like his fictional character. And even though some of these actors have kind of cultivated that masculine image, do we really know what these people are like in their private lives? A lot of these individuals are pretty private about their private lives. They could, I don't know, be bird watchers. They could collect butterflies. You know, John Wayne's actual name was Marion Morrison. Marion does not sound like a tough guy name. Although, come to think of it, if he went to the high school I went to, he would probably have become a tough guy. In fact, I sort of remember that old Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. He might have had to tough up. But as has often been pointed out, although he played war heroes in just about every branch of the armed services in the movies, even though he was in his 30s at the time and certainly could have volunteered, he didn't actually serve in any branch of the armed services during World War II. He was too busy playing those characters in the movies, which arguably might have done more for the cause, made people feel more motivated to buy war bonds and such than if he had volunteered, like a lot of other actors had. But still, that was a part, a character he played in the movies. And while that Wild West version of peacemaking might sound appealing in fiction, on the screen, is it really so appealing in fact? Well, not according to Jesus Christ. When he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God," I'm pretty sure he had something else in mind entirely. In fact, that's illustrated by something he said just a little further on. Jesus wasn't really into that Old West, or for that matter, even that Old Testament kind of justice, that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth kind of justice that seemed to motivate all the Dirty Harry movies. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said by people of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." And he goes on to say, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven." Now, that's the blessing, he says, you get as a peacemaker. There's a link between these two concepts. If you want the blessing of a peacemaker, you have to learn to love your enemies. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. There is a little Dirty Harry in us all. And he is a diehard. He does not like this turn the other cheek business. That little Dirty Harry in us thinks this is a terrible idea. This turn the other cheek, loving your neighbor's stuff does not make sense to Harry. That Harry in us sees it as weakness, sees it as, well, just foolhardy, sees it as being cowardly. But before we choose Dirty Harry as our role model instead of Jesus Christ, we should consider one more thing. In addition to the fact that Dirty Harry is just a fictional character, what if he was real? Consider his character. In the movies, Dirty Harry, and for that matter, the characters John Wayne played, the Shane character Alan Ladd played, most of these characters are social outcasts. They live alone. They are angry people. They're frustrated people. They're people who have lots of enemies. All they have seem to have is enemies. Nobody else believes in their cause. They're always on their own. Like, that's really the subject of High Noon, how nobody will stand with Gary Cooper. He's just all by himself. Everybody's saying, "Why don't you just, you're retired, why don't you just take off?" But a man's got to do what a man's got to do, you know? These people don't seem very happy, do they? The Dirty Harry character always ends up going home alone because, frankly, who would want to live with somebody like that who is always angry and always looking to get even and always has a chip on his shoulders, always ready for a fight? And is always a loner. Who would want to be with a person like that? Is that who we really want to be? Someone with lots of enemies, someone who's frustrated and angry, who always ends up alone. I don't know if that's our real goal in life. I don't know if that's who we want to be. And anyway, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, I don't think he really meant let other people off the hook, at least not in an outer way. I don't even think that's a good policy. I think we need to render unto Caesar's the thing that are Caesar's. We need to, in this world, deal with things in a realistic way. I think it does people good to have to face the consequences of what they do. I think it does people good to have to face what the things they do, how they affect other people. I think from the time we have little children, they should have to pay for their mistakes, their misbehavior, whether it's by getting some privilege cut off, like watching TV, or getting a timeout, or sent to their room, or better yet, sent to your room. Because their room, they got all kinds of fun stuff to do. Your room, there's nothing to do. Send them to your room. Or as adults, I think we need to make amends, or at least try. But unless we learn to turn the other cheek, you never get the opportunity. Because I don't think turning the other cheek is about letting other people off the hook for what they've done as much as it's about giving people another shot. I don't mean the kind of shot they did Matt Dillon made at the beginning of Gunsmoke either. I don't mean give them another shot at hurting us. I mean give them another shot at doing it right. It's if at first you don't succeed, try again. Not if at first you don't succeed for me, I'm done with you. Now, giving people another shot, another chance, you talk about something that takes courage. That takes courage because that means we have to give them something that is precious to us and that we're very protective of, the thing we are most protective of, our trust, our faith. To really give somebody another shot, there can't be any of this, I'll give you another chance, but I'm keeping my eye on you. That's not giving them another shot. You have to give them another chance to maybe break your heart. And they might. But that's the only way that we ever have a chance, any of us, to learn to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, by seeing the consequences of what we do, but also by getting another chance to do it. You think Dirty Harry is brave? You have to be braver to love somebody. You have to be braver to trust somebody. You have to be really brave to give people a second chance, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, instead of doing unto others the way they'd done unto you. It's hard not to want to get even. It takes a brave person. It's hard to give people a second chance. But we have to ask ourselves, which would we rather do, get well or get even? And is it ever enough? Do we ever really feel like we've gotten even? Do we want to be at peace or do we want to live like that Dirty Harry character? Does he seem at peace? Do those characters ever seem happy? Do they ever seem to have any friends? Or even the respect of the people they work with? They never seem to, do they? They never do. You know, recently I saw a tape of a film I missed in the theaters. It was out last year, but it was one of the best movies I'd seen in years. It was a Clint Eastwood movie. And it was one that started out with him very much playing that same character he'd played so many times in the Dirty Harry movies and in the westerns before that. It was called Gran Torino. If you ever get a chance to see that movie, if you haven't, you should. Because he starts out Dirty Harry, and he is unfriendly, and he is alone. His wife has died, he's estranged from his kids, nobody likes him, and he doesn't like anybody. So it's fine with him. His neighborhood has been taken over by foreigners that he just doesn't understand, and they're just letting the neighborhood go downhill. And he is a thoroughly unhappy person. But an interesting thing is the movie's really about that Dirty Harry character becoming somebody else, opening his heart to these foreigners living around him, giving people a chance, finding out that if you give people a little trust, if you open your heart a little bit, life gets better, not worse. And his character evolves. And in the end, actually in the end of the movie, it seems like he's going to revert to Dirty Harry. But he doesn't. He kind of reverts to, well, taking Jesus Christ, turn the other cheek, literally. You know, one thing about the early Christians, they were willing to die for what they believed in, but they weren't willing to kill for it. That's what made them different. That's what made them different. And figuratively, that Dirty Harry and Clint Eastwood character had to die so he could become whole. And maybe we need to let go of that character in ourselves. And finally, let's look at it this way. Put the shoe on the other foot. What if you, I know it's hard to believe, I mean, but this could even happen to me. What if I was the one that hurt someone's feelings? What if I was the one that made a mistake? What if I was the one that let somebody down? Wouldn't I like them to give me another shot? Another chance not to let them down? Wouldn't you? Let's pray about this. And just